Welcome to your deep dive
Right.
into Ag 4.0.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about the future of food. We've got all this digital technology revolutionizing farming,
Yeah.
and we've got a whole bunch of academic papers to unpack to figure out what's really going on here.
Yeah, this is exciting stuff.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
imagine
Yeah.
self-driving tractors, AI analyzing crops,
Right.
sensors gathering tons of data.
Yeah, it's a whole new world.
And we're going to break it all down for you.
Yeah, I'm really excited to jump into this. I think one of the things that makes this so fascinating is that it's not just about incremental improvements. You know, we're talking about a complete paradigm shift in how food is produced.
Like, I was reading that some farms basically run themselves.
Exactly.
Like, almost everything is managed without humans even needing to be there.
That's the level of change we're talking
Yeah,
about.
it's crazy.
Yeah, and we're gonna get into all of it.
Yeah, from the tech itself to the impact on farmers and, of course, what it all means for us, you know.
Absolutely. It's their effect on our
Bark, the
plates.
food on our
Exactly.
plates.
So I think a good place to start would be to sort of set the scene right.
Okay.
Let's explore the technological landscape a little bit. Our first paper here, it's called The Digitization of Agricultural Industry, a systematic literature review on Agriculture 4.0. It really breaks down all the key technologies that are driving this revolution. And some of this stuff is already in use. You know, it's changing the face of farming, like right now.
It's
Yeah.
like we're living in a sci-fi movie or
It
something.
really is.
Drones and robots out in the
I
fields.
know, it's amazing.
And it's not just replacing human labor,
Right.
but they're doing things that we couldn't even imagine before.
Exactly. Think about it. You've got these drones flying over the fields, monitoring the crops, looking for signs of disease or pests.
Oh, wow.
And then you've got robots that are doing things like weeding or pruning with incredible precision. And this level of precision has the potential to significantly reduce costs and reduce the environmental impact.
Which is huge.
Huge. It's a win-win for farmers and the planet.
So this all kind of ties into this explosion of data that we're seeing, right?
Absolutely. Data is at the heart of this revolution.
So tell me more about
Well,
these sensor networks that
yeah.
I keep hearing about.
Imagine a network of sensors all over the farm. You've got them in the soil, you've got them on the plants, you even have sensors in the air, constantly collecting information about everything.
Like, what kind of information?
Oh, everything. We're talking moisture levels, nutrient content in the soil, weather patterns, pest activity.
So it's like giving the farm a nervous system or
It's like
something.
giving the farm a nervous system.
And it's all feeding back to some central point.
Exactly, providing a constant stream of feedback.
It's mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing how much data we can gather now.
So we're talking about like
Yeah.
creating a digital twin
Essentially,
of
yes.
the entire farm.
That's a great way to put it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But then, what do we do with all this information?
That's the key question, right? That's where artificial intelligence comes in, AI algorithms. They analyze all this sensor data and they use it to predict yields, detect diseases early on, optimize irrigation schedules. They can even control those robots that we were talking about.
Yeah, it's
And
like they're making decisions.
it's all about using data to make smarter decisions at every step of the way.
So you're talking about the
Yeah.
agri-food value chain that the paper mentions.
Exactly.
Can you
Yeah.
break that down for me?
Sure. So basically, it's not just about growing food, right? It's about every step of the process, from the seed in the ground to the food that ends up on your plate. So you've got pre-planting decisions, you've got what happens out in the field, you've got processing, you've got storage, transportation, all those steps that make up the agri-food value chain in Agriculture 4.0, it impacts every single stage, making the whole journey more efficient and more transparent.
So we're not just changing how we grow food,
No.
but how it gets to us too.
Exactly. It's a system transformation.
It's huge.
It is huge. So now that we have a bit of an overview of the technology, I think it's time to dive into the potential benefits, right? Let's talk about the good stuff.
What are the big wins we're looking at here?
Well, I think the most obvious one is increased productivity and efficiency, right? The goal is to produce more food with fewer resources, which is critical as the global population continues to grow.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And AI, for example, has the potential to help farmers achieve like a 20% increase in crop yields.
Wow.
While using 15% less water.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
More food with less impact.
Exactly. That's the dream.
It's a win-win.
It is a win-win.
What about for the environmentally conscious?
Oh, for the eco-conscious folks out there,
mm-hmm.
This technology is a game changer, honestly.
Okay.
So precision agriculture, as it's called,
mm-hmm.
It dramatically reduces the environmental footprint of farming.
Okay.
So instead of just, you know, blanketing the entire field with fertilizers and pesticides,
right.
We can use these technologies to target them precisely where they're needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that means less waste, less runoff,
mm-hmm.
less potential harm to ecosystems.
Like we're farming smarter, not harder.
Exactly. It's about working with nature, not against it.
Yeah.
Using technology to actually enhance sustainability.
It sounds almost too good to be.
I know, right?
But I know from reading through these papers mm-hmm. that there are some hurdles too.
Of course. There are always challenges, mm-hmm. Abbasi et al.
Mm-hmm.
In this first paper,
mm-hmm.
they sort of categorize these hurdles into two buckets.
Okay.
You've got technical challenges.
Okay.
And then you've got socioeconomic challenges.
So it's not just about the technology itself.
Yeah, okay.
It's about making sure it actually works for the people who need to use it.
Exactly. It's about implementation, adoption,
okay. All
those real world factors.
So on the technical side, what are we looking at?
Well, one of the big ones is wireless communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ensuring reliable wireless communication in rural areas.
Right.
That can be tricky.
Especially if you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly. And then there's the issue of compatibility, right?
Mm-hmm, okay.
We need to make sure that all these different systems, mm-hmm. the sensors, the robots, the software,
right.
that they can all talk to each other.
You got to be able to communicate.
You got to be able to communicate, yeah.
Right.
So compatibility is key. And then the last one, and this is a big one,
all right.
is the sheer volume of data
right.
that's being generated.
Mm-hmm.
We need to figure out how to manage it,
how
to analyze it effectively.
Right, because it's one thing to have all this data,
yeah.
but if you don't know what to do with it,
right.
it's useless.
That's just noise, yeah.
Okay, so what about these socioeconomic barriers you mentioned?
So these are just as important as the technical challenges, honestly.
Okay.
One of the big ones is the cost, right? The initial investment
right.
in these technologies mm-hmm. can be pretty significant.
Yeah, especially for smaller farms.
Especially for smaller farms, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the issue of digital literacy.
Okay.
We need to make sure that farmers
mm-hmm.
have the skills
right.
to actually implement and benefit from these systems.
Yeah, because if they don't know how to use
them. Yeah, if they're intimidated by the technology,
right.
then it's not going to be very useful.
Right.
And then, of course, there are concerns about data privacy and security,
mm-hmm.
which are very valid concerns.
Yeah, because who owns that data, right?
Exactly. Those are all questions that need to be addressed.
So it's about making sure the technology is accessible.
Absolutely.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And trustworthy.
Trustworthy, yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So speaking of real-world applications.
Yes, let's move on to that.
Let's move on to our next paper,
okay.
which dives into a specific example of Ag 4.0 in action.
Let's get specific.
A vineyard.
Okay, vineyards. I love vineyards.
This study is titled Experimenting Agriculture 4.0 with Sensors, a data fusion approach between remote sensing, UAVs, and self-driving tractors.
It's a mouthful, but it's a good one.
It's a long title, but it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So this study offers a really fascinating glimpse into the power of this idea of data fusion
mm-hmm.
in a real world setting.
In action.
Yeah. Okay, so data fusion.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Okay, so imagine this. You have a complete 360 degree view of the vineyard.
Okay.
Inside and out.
Okay.
That's what data fusion's all about.
Okay.
It's combining data
mm-hmm.
from all these different sources.
Okay.
Satellites, drones, ground sensors.
Wow.
To create this comprehensive and accurate picture of what's happening.
So it's like putting together a puzzle.
Yes. A complex puzzle, but with data points instead of pieces.
It's crazy.
It is. So data fusion gives farmers
mm-hmm.
this level of insight that was, you know, basically unimaginable before.
Okay.
Think of it this way. You can see the vineyard from space.
Right.
With the satellite imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can zoom in with the drone imagery
right.
for a closer look at specific areas.
Yeah.
And then you can get even more granular data from sensors that are embedded within the vines themselves.
Wow. So you can see the whole picture.
Real picture, yeah.
And then zoom in to the tiny little detail.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So in this vineyard study,
mm-hmm.
they use data fusion
mm-hmm.
to create what they call a vineyard vigor map.
Okay, so help me visualize this. Like, what is vineyard vigor?
Okay, so imagine you're looking at an image of a vineyard from above, right?
Okay, from a satellite.
Yeah, from a satellite. Vineyard vigor is basically a heat map.
Okay.
It shows you which areas of the vineyard are thriving and which ones are struggling.
Okay.
And you can tell this by looking at the color and the density of the foliage.
Okay.
So, you know, if the leaves are nice and green and full, that means those vines are healthy. But if the leaves are kind of yellow or sparse,
right,
that means those vines might be struggling.
Okay.
So this vigor map helps identify areas that may need extra attention, whether it's irrigation, fertilization, pest control, whatever.
So it's like a targeted approach to vineyard management.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead of treating the entire vineyard the same way,
right,
you can focus your efforts on the areas that need it most.
Makes sense.
So it's much more efficient.
Yeah.
And in this study, they didn't just map vigor, though. Yeah. They also used sensor data to optimize the path of a self-driving tractor.
Oh, wow.
So they minimized fuel consumption and soil compaction.
So they're using the data.
They're using the data.
To make the tractor more efficient, too.
More efficient, exactly.
That's cool.
And they integrated all this data into a GIS system.
Okay.
Which is basically like a really powerful mapping tool.
Okay.
So they could factor in historical data, soil types, microclimates.
It's amazing how much information they have to work with.
Yeah. It's like having a complete digital twin of the vineyard.
Yeah. But this seems a lot for a smaller farm to handle.
That's a great point, actually. This all sounds super high tech, right? Yeah. And the question is, can smaller farms keep up?
Right.
You know, can they afford all this technology?
Yeah.
Do they have the expertise to use it?
Right.
And that's where the human element comes in.
Okay.
That's where things get really interesting. And luckily, we've got a whole bunch of papers that explore this aspect.
This is what really stood out to me, too, while I was reading through all these papers, because it's like, you can have all the fancy robots and AI in the world, but ultimately, it comes down to the farmers making decisions.
They're the ones on the ground.
Right, and implementing these technologies. So how do we make sure that they're on board?
Well, these papers, they introduce this concept called the theory of planned behavior, which sounds kind of complicated.
Yeah, it sounds a little...
It does, but it's actually pretty straightforward when you think about how people make decisions.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to new technologies.
Okay. So it's like understanding the psychology behind why a farmer might choose to use a new technology.
Or not use it,
Or not use it.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me more about this theory.
Okay, so basically, the theory says that a person's intention to do something, like, you know, adopt a new agricultural technology in this case, is influenced by three main things.
Okay.
Their attitude towards it.
Okay.
Their perceived behavioral control.
Okay.
And what they call the subjective norms.
Okay. Break those down for me a little bit.
Okay. So let's say a company comes out with a brand new AI-powered irrigation system. Okay.
Okay.
A farmer's attitude towards that system is going to depend on whether they believe it'll actually benefit them.
Okay.
Will it save them time and money?
Right.
Will it improve their yields? You know, if they have a positive attitude, they're more likely to be open to trying it.
Makes sense. But a positive attitude isn't enough, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You also need perceived behavioral control.
Okay.
This basically means the farmer needs to feel confident that they can actually use the technology if it seems too complicated, too intimidating, or it requires skills they don't have, they're less likely to adopt it, even if they think it's a good idea in theory.
So it's not enough for the tech to be good.
Right.
It's got to be.
It's got to be user-friendly.
Yeah.
It's got to be accessible.
Right.
Okay. And then the last one, subjective norms. This is all about social influence.
Okay.
What are other farmers doing? Is this technology seen as innovative and forward-thinking?
Right.
Or is there, you know, skepticism or resistance? Farmers are much more likely to adopt the technology if they see their peers using it successfully.
Right. So it's like peer pressure, but for good.
Exactly. Peer pressure for good.
Okay. So the researchers are saying that if we want to see widespread adoption of these Ag 4.0 technologies, we need to address all three.
All three of those factors.
Of these factors.
Yeah.
Okay. And the experts that they interviewed for these papers they highlight some specific challenges
they do.
And opportunities related to this. So, for example, they talk about the need for more education.
Big time.
And training programs for farmers to help them bridge that digital literacy gap.
Yep. We need to make sure that farmers feel empowered to use these technologies effectively.
It's like providing tech support.
Tech support for farmers, yeah.
For farmers.
Exactly. We need to make sure they have the knowledge, the resources to troubleshoot any problems and really get the most out of these new tools.
So it's not just about technical skills then, right?
No, it's also about building trust.
Okay.
You know, addressing concerns about data privacy.
Right, because farmers need to know that their data is being used responsibly and they're not being exploited.
Yeah, they need to feel like they're in control.
Okay. So this brings up an important point about the potential downsides of this whole technological revolution.
Right, because it's not all sunshine and rainbows, right?
Right. It's a touchy subject.
Yeah, it can be a little controversial, but we can't just ignore the potential risks.
Exactly. So let's talk about those.
Okay, let's do it.
What are some of the things that we need to be thinking about?
Well, one of the big ones for me is the impact on small farms.
Okay.
You know, if these technologies are really expensive and require specialized knowledge, isn't that just going to further disadvantage smaller operations? Mm-hmm. You know, it could potentially widen the gap between large and small farms.
The haves and the have-nots.
Exactly. So how do we...
That's a big concern. Mm. And it's something we need to address proactively.
Okay, so what can we do about it?
Well, I think one way to mitigate that risk is to promote open source technologies, data sharing platforms that benefit everyone, not just large corporations.
So it's about... Yeah. Leveling the playing field a little bit.
Leveling the playing field, exactly.
I'm making sure that smaller farms have access.
Access to the same tools and resources.
To the same tools and resources as their larger counterpart.
Exactly. And it's not just about technology either,
right?
We also need supportive policies and programs that help smaller farms adapt to this changing landscape.
Okay. So what does that look like in practice? Well, it could involve things like financial assistance, technical training, access to markets.
So kind of a multi-pronged approach.
Exactly. We need to be thinking about this from all angles.
Okay. What about the ethical implications?
Oh, that's a big one too.
Of using AI in agriculture.
That's something we can't just brush aside.
Yeah. That's something I've been thinking about a lot too.
Me too. It's a really complex issue.
Because it's like, as AI becomes more sophisticated, you know, it's making more and more decisions.
Yeah,
so we have to think about who's ultimately responsible.
That's the key question, right?
If something goes wrong.
Exactly.
So if an AI system is making recommendations about which crops to plant or how much fertilizer to use, who's liable if something goes wrong?
It's like the self-driving car dilemma.
Right. But for farming.
Exactly. But for farming.
So
yeah, these are tough questions, and we need to start developing some clear guidelines and regulations to make sure that AI is being used ethically and responsibly. We also need to think about the potential impact on jobs.
Right, because if machines are doing more of the work, what happens to the people who currently rely on those jobs?
Yeah, that's a valid concern. Will this technology create new jobs? Or will it lead to widespread unemployment in rural areas?
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a combination of both, honestly.
Right.
I mean, some jobs are inevitably going to be displaced by automation. But new jobs are also going to emerge, right? Areas like data analysis, software development, robotics, maintenance.
So it's about...
So yeah, the key is...
Making sure that workers have the skills.
The skills and the training.
To adapt, right.
To adapt to these new roles.
Okay. So it sounds like we need to approach this.
We need to be thoughtful about it.
With a really holistic mindset.
Absolutely.
It's not just about the technology.
Technological advancement.
Right.
We got to think about the social, economic.
Yeah.
And ethical implications too.
Exactly. The whole picture. Host.
Speaker. Sure. It's not just about the technology. It's about the whole picture.
Exactly. So let's talk about some of the potential benefits, right? You know, aside from these challenges.
Yeah. What are some of the things that this technology could really help us achieve?
Well, one area where I think this technology has huge potential is in addressing global food security.
Okay.
You know, as the world's population continues to grow, we're facing this increasing pressure to produce more food with fewer resources.
Right.
And Ag 4.0, it has the potential to really significantly increase crop yields and reduce waste through these precision farming techniques. And that could help us, you know,
meet that growing demand for food.
Yeah, because we have to feed a lot more people.
We do. And we had to do it on a planet that's already strained.
Right.
So this is where I think technology can really make a difference.
So we're talking about a future where technology helps us produce more food on less land.
On less land.
Using less water. Fewer inputs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a game changer.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
Especially when you think about, you know, climate change, resource scarcity, all those challenges.
Yeah.
This technology could really help us overcome those.
And it's not just about increasing yields either, right?
No, it's also about reducing waste.
Okay.
Imagine a system where sensors can detect early signs of spoilage in storage facilities, or they can optimize transportation routes to minimize losses during shipping.
So we're losing less food.
Less food waste, exactly. So yeah, Ag 4.0 has the potential to make the entire food chain more efficient and more sustainable.
Okay.
It's about making the most of what we have.
Yeah, and this all kind of ties back into that idea of creating a more environmentally friendly food system, which we touched on earlier.
Yeah.
What are some other ways that Ag 4.0 could benefit the planet?
Well, we talked about precision agriculture, right?
Right.
And how it allows us to target inputs like fertilizers and pesticides with incredible accuracy.
Okay.
So that means less runoff, less environmental contamination. We can also use data to optimize irrigation systems.
Okay.
Which means reducing water waste, conserving this precious resource.
So it's like we're working with nature.
Exactly.
Not against it.
It's a partnership.
Yeah.
Not a battle.
Yeah.
You know,
using technology?
Using technology
to enhance
sustainability, not just maximize output.
Right, because it's not just about producing more food, it's about producing it in a way that doesn't
sustainable
planet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And don't forget about the potential of this data-driven decision-making to help farmers adapt to climate change.
Okay.
Imagine being able to access real-time weather data, soil moisture readings, even predictive models that can help you make informed choices about planting, irrigation, pest control.
Okay.
In the face of all these changing weather patterns.
So it's like having a crystal ball for your farm.
Exactly. It's like having a crystal ball.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
We're still in the early stages.
The early stages of this whole
technological revolution.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of work to be done.
Lots of work to be done.
To really, really
realize
the potential.
The potential of all this.
But the possibilities are definitely exciting.
Oh, they're incredibly exciting.
So speaking of exciting possibilities, let's shift gears a little bit and dive into some of the cutting edge innovations that are on the horizon.
The future of food. Here we come.
I'm really intrigued by this idea of vertical farming.
Vertical farming. Oh, yeah.
It sounds like something out of a science fiction movie.
I know, right? It's so cool.
So paint a picture for me.
Okay, so imagine skyscrapers filled with crops growing layer upon layer, bathed in perfectly calibrated LED light.
Okay.
Nutrients delivered directly to their roots.
So it's like a
high-tech
great tech greenhouse on steroids.
But in a skyscraper.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But why?
It's already happening.
It is.
Yeah, it's starting to become a reality.
Wow.
In some parts of the world.
But why would we?
That's a good question, right?
Need to grow food in skyscrapers.
Well, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Vertical farms.
Mm-hmm.
They can be located in urban areas.
Okay.
Right. So you're reducing transportation costs. Mm-hmm. You're bringing fresh food closer to consumers.
Okay, so less?
Yeah, less food miles.
Food miles.
Exactly.
Okay.
They also use significantly less water.
Okay.
And land than traditional farming.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not dependent on weather patterns.
Oh, that's a big one?
Huge. Right.
Yeah.
Which means you can have year-round production.
So you could have fresh strawberries in December grown right in the middle of the city.
Right in the heart of the city.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
But is it really scalable?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can we grow enough food in vertical farms to feed a growing population?
Yeah.
And that's something that researchers are definitely working to address.
Okay.
You know, it's probably not going to replace traditional agriculture entirely.
Okay.
But it can definitely play a crucial role in supplementing our food supply.
Okay.
Especially in urban areas and regions with limited arable land. It's like another tool.
Complementary
approach. No, complementary approach, exactly.
Okay.
So we're not putting all our eggs in one basket.
Okay.
We're using different methods to produce food in different contexts.
Okay. Yeah. What about gene editing?
Gene editing. Oh, that's a fascinating one.
Yeah.
So gene editing techniques like CRISPR. They're giving scientists this ability to make very precise changes to the DNA of crops.
Okay.
And this opens up a whole world of possibilities.
Like what?
Oh, all sorts of things.
Okay.
We can enhance the nutritional value of crops.
Okay.
We can increase their resistance to pests and diseases.
Mm-hmm.
We can even make them more resilient to climate change.
So we could essentially design crops.
Essentially, yeah.
That are perfectly
adapted to specific environments.
For specific environments.
And nutritional needs.
And nutritional needs.
It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. But aren't there concerns about the safety and the ethical implications?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, any technology that manipulates the building blocks of life, you know, we have to approach it with caution. We need to carefully consider the potential risks and benefits and make sure that it's used responsibly and transparently.
So it's about finding that balance.
It's all about balance.
Innovation and ethical
considerations. Yeah.
You can't just
blindly embrace.
Throw caution to the wind.
New technologies without thinking about
it. Yeah, we got to think about the consequences.
The potential impact.
Eventual impacts on human health, the environment, society as a whole.
A whole picture,
And we need to have these conversations.
We do.
You know, with a wide range of stakeholders.
Absolutely. We need everyone at the table.
Yeah. Scientists, farmers, policymakers.
Consumers. Yeah. Everyone.
Everyone, yeah.
Okay.
So speaking of consumers, what role do they play in all of this? Yeah, because it's easy to feel like we're just kind of along for the ride.
Passive recipients of the food system.
Yeah.
But actually, consumers have a lot of power.
Okay.
You know, through their purchasing decisions.
Okay.
By choosing to support sustainable and ethical food practices, they can really drive demand for change.
So it's like voting.
It is like voting.
With your wallet.
Exactly.
Okay.
And by staying informed about these new technologies and engaging in conversations about their implications, consumers can really help shape the future of food in a positive direction.
It's kind of empowering to know that
it is empowering.
We're not just passive recipients.
Yeah, we're active participants.
But active participants in this whole evolution of the food system.
The future of food.
Yeah. And we don't have to wait for these big technological changes to happen.
There are things we can do right now.
Yeah. What are some things that we can do?
Well, even growing your own food.
Okay.
You know, even if it's just a few herbs on a windowsill that can connect you to the food system in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
Supporting local farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
Reducing food waste in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
Educating yourself.
Right.
About sustainable food practices. These are all things that we can do.
That can make a difference.
They all add up.
Yeah. It's about making conscious choices.
Conscious choices.
And taking action in our own lives.
Yeah.
To create the kind of
Food system.
Food system we want to see.
Or they want to see in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. This has been an incredible,
amazing deep dive.
We've explored.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot.
The cutting edge of agricultural innovation.
From the field
to the dinner
table. To the labs to the dinner table. It's clear that
The future of food.
The future of food is full of.
It's going to be very different.
Exciting possibilities.
But we also have to be mindful.
Ethical and social considerations.
Absolutely.
So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
On this deep dive. We hope you've.
I hope everyone
learned something new and are.
Learned something new today.
Inspired to continue exploring.
It's a fascinating topic.
It's a fascinating world.
To keep exploring.
Of food and technology. And remember, the future of food is in our hands. Let's make it a delicious and sustainable one.
Cheers to that.